You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Thursday to you. It's Thursday, November the 22nd. Before we get into the podcast, I want to take this moment to say happy Thanksgiving to all you guys. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for dealing with me. Sometimes I could be a little inconsistent, but, you know, I got love for you guys, and I really want to, just thank you for being people who read my stories, people who listen to the podcast, people who, you know, show me love when you see me. Even the ones who criticize me sometimes, I like the constructive criticism. So I just want to thank y'all, and I want to make sure I hope that all of you guys have a great day today. Enjoy some time with your friends and family. But today, there's three things I'm going to talk about. You know, I want to talk about Markelle Fultz, of course. It's a sad situation. I want to talk about last night's win. The Sixers defeated the New Orleans Pelicans 121-120. And I want to talk about where the 76ers, where do they go from now with Markelle? You know, initially in the first segment, we're going to talk about Markelle. We're going to talk about how sad this thing is. Second segment, let's talk about this game. It was a great game to me. It was a good game. I ain't going to say great. It was a good game. Good ending for the Sixers. The Sixers on a four-game winning streak. In his third segment, I want to talk about the Sixers and Markelle. Unfortunately, this is something that I don't think can be repaired right now. I think that his representation is messing this kid up or messing his opportunity up. But without delaying it any further, let's talk about the Markelle Fultz situation. All right. Wow. By now, I think all of you guys, unless you were somewhere under a rock or took a trip to Mars or somewhere, know what's going on. You know, Markelle Fultz's agent on Tuesday sent Elton Brand a message or called him and told him that Markelle would not play or practice until after he sees a shoulder specialist. But he tells him that he's not going to see the shoulder specialist until Monday. The team was hoping that he would see one quicker than that. Nah, they're not going to do it until Monday. Okay, so that's the one thing. Now, a couple hours later, you find out that even after the agent / lawyer said that Markelle wasn't going to practice or play, Markelle participated in the team's light practice. He participated in the team's light practice. So that raises like a couple, like, okay, I thought the agent said he wouldn't. Well, he did. So next thing you know, you go there. And then yesterday, there's a report from The Athletic, which was a report by, you know, four reporters who I have the utmost respect for, four reporters who I know. They all do a great job. Apparently, someone in Markelle's camp informed them that Markelle, in addition to having a banged up shoulder, he has a banged up wrist now. It also said that Markelle wants to have a fresh start with a new team. Now, this is kind of where things get crazy, because things are, Markel's actions are kind of contradicting what's coming out from his camp. So Markel attends the shooter, the team's walkthrough, because they don't have shoot arounds on days of the game. So Markel attends the team's walkthrough. Markel is on the sidelines. He's probably the loudest cheerleader for the team in the arena. He looks happy. Now, again, I can understand where, you know, seeing a guy on the sidelines rooting for his teammates does not, like, signify that he's happy with the organization. But the way that these reports are coming out, his actions do not at all support it. Again, I'm saying, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that it's not true, because I said these four reporters are very reputable. They're good reporters. All I'm saying is that these actions do not support it. And I don't know if what's going on with Markel, I don't know what's going on with his group, but it just appears that people are not aligned, right? Now, this has become a huge, it's so bad you can't even call it a circus. It's become a huge thing to where it's taken away from the team. It's really taken away from the team. The 76ers are 13-7. They're on a 4-game winning streak. You have Jimmy Butler on the team. The Eagles are struggling. The Sixers are the hottest team right now in Philadelphia. The problem is, everyone's talking about Markel Fultz, not for being, for what he does on the basketball court, but for, is he really hurt? I thought this thing was mental. Everyone's saying it's a shoulder injury. Now it's a wrist injury. What's really going on? The situation is crazy and it's sad. It's sad because, you know, the Markel situation, nothing supports it that it's his shoulder. Now, again, he may say that his shoulder is hurt, but, and you may get a doctor, we all know, and I'm not trying to knock anybody, but if you go see enough doctors about injuries and stuff like that, someone is going to say, yep, something's wrong with you. It happens all the time. But from what I've been told, the 76ers he's seen numerous doctors. Numerous doctors. Some of the best doctors around examined him. And no one has found anything wrong with his shoulder, his wrist, whatever. Now, I will say that players who play minutes and play this such a grueling schedule, the Sixers played the most games of any team in the NBA. They played the most back-to-backs of any team in the NBA. With that being said, if you get minutes for the Sixers, you might be bruised up a little bit. So that has something to do with it. But the fact is that Markel has struggled shooting the ball. Analytically, he's playing well. Analytically, he's playing off the charts for the Sixers. I'm not off there, but he's playing well. But it just seems as if, for whatever reason, he's getting some bad advice And, you know, it looks like a little kid who lost his backup spot to T.J. McConnell, because that's what happened on Monday. Brett Brown was non-committal. And it looks like someone saying, hey, I'm on the playground. I didn't get picked. I'm taking my ball and going home. That's what it looks like. But then all of a sudden, he's out here. And he's with his teammates. So that leads you to believe it's not him. You know, Markelle Fultz has people in his life who love him. He has some other people in his life who love him, but they just seem like they may need to take a step back. On this day, Thanksgiving, my suggestion to Markelle is to hop in the car, drive down to the DMV, and have a talk to the people who have always been in your back. I mean, had your back, your support. Because right now, I think the brother is getting some bad advice, and I think it could hinder his career. And we're going to talk about that in the third segment. But coming up, I want to talk to you guys about the game. The Sixers won 121 to 120. Joel Embiid was once again a beast. But before we do that, I want you guys to check this out. All right, y'all, I'm back. As I said, we're going to talk about, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about last night's game. To be honest with you, it was a solid game. But like I said, it was overshadowed by news of Markelle Fultz. You know, the Athletic report came out, I want to say maybe, I don't know, maybe less than, let's just say it was less than an hour, maybe 45 minutes, 35, whatever, before the start of last night's game. Joel Embiid, this was a matchup of two of the league's elite centers. I mean, they are. They're two all-stars. Anthony Davis is the center for the New Orleans Pelicans. He also, I mean, he goes by center power forward. To me, his best position is a power forward. He is one of the league's top defenders. It's funny though, you're looking at this stat. So this is weird. So Joel Embiid finished with 31 points, which was a game high. He finished with 19 rebounds, which was a game high. He had two assists, two turnovers, right? He was 11 for 23 shooting. Embiid scored 8 of the Sixers' first 10 points and 11 of their first 15. His strong performance gave the Sixers a 38-23 lead after one quarter, right? But the reason why I said this stats is crazy is because when you look at his plus-minus, he was minus 11. And the reason I'm saying it's crazy is I didn't see that. You know, I saw the guy, you know, doing work. And when you look at what Anthony Davis did on the offensive end, now, don't get me wrong, Anthony Davis played a solid defensive game. But offensively, he had his worst shooting night of the season. Anthony Davis scored 12 points on 4 for 13 shooting. He had 16 rebounds. But he had 6 assists. I mean, 16 rebounds is nothing to sneeze out. He had 6 assists. He had 5 steals. And he had 5 blocks. Now, he did have 6 turnovers. Embiid had 7. He was a -7. Right? But the guy who had a memorable performance for the Pelicans was former Sixer Drew Holiday. He had 30 points, a game-high 10 assists. He did have, he had two steals, he had one block and five turnovers. I mean, dude, it was turnover city yesterday. And then Etan Moore, his backcourt mate, had 30 points. So they were just giving the Sixers guards buckets. I mean, they were just like, boom, boom, boom. Ben Simmons had 22 points. He had seven assists, eight rebounds. All five Sixers starters were in double figures. And Landry Shamet had a career high of 15 points off the bench. Jimmy Butler had 13. Wilson Chandler had 13 on 6-for-7 shooting. I mean, my man is starting to get it back, find his groove. You can see a burst when he plays. J.J. Redick had 13 points. It was a poor shooting night for J.J. He was 0-for-7 on threes. But Landry Shamet, he was 4-for-6 on threes. That was all his attempts. He went 3-for-3 from the foul line. T.J. McConnell struggled. He had a bad game after, you know, playing so well the last time Sixers played. But I think some of this might have been attributed to Russ getting these extended minutes. You know, the last game he was psyched up like, hey, look at me, I'm finally playing. But this time, you know, he played 17 minutes, 17 seconds. He had 3 points. He was 1-for-5 shooting, and that was like 1-for-2. He was 1-for-2 on three, so he missed his two-point baskets. He only had one assist. He had a steal. He had a block. He had a turnover. I take that back. He had a steal and a turnover. And he had a foul, and he graded out with a game worth minus 15. But when you look at it, the 76ers are rolling now. The 76ers are, you know, they won four games in a row. They won four games in a row. Four in a row, right? And now they have an easy stretch coming up. They play Cleveland tomorrow. Then on Sunday, they have Brooklyn. That's going to be kind of like a revenge game, like a game where the Sixers are going to be going to try to pay them back. The Sixers played Brooklyn before up in Brooklyn. They thought it was going to be easy peasy. And they came on. It was the second day of a back-to-back. And they get up there and get smashed. The team turned the ball over a lot. Embiid only got 8 shots. It was just a horrible night. I think it was one of those nights where you kept asking yourself, did they party in New York last night? Did they hit the club? I mean, it was just one of those days. Like, it was just bad. And I think that they're going to respond. Then from there, they play – who do they play next after that? I know they play Washington they play the Knicks. They should win that game, and then they play Washington. Washington Wizards. I mean, the Wizards are horrible right now, and they got a lot of problems. I mean, hey, they may not have – their problems may not be big as Markel Fultz, but believe me. They have problems. So I think the Sixers are going to win those. And the Brooklyn game is the only one on the road. So I think that the Sixers should be okay. Now we're going to go to another break, and I'll be back. And I'm going to talk about what I think in store for Markel Fultz. All right, I'm back now. You know, the thing about the Markel Fultz saga, you know, I know the team is saying, everybody is saying after he gets checked out, he goes sees the shoulder specialist, that, you know, possibly welcome him back. And I shouldn't say welcome back because his teammates have been very supportive of him, very supportive. I mean, you go in the locker room, TJ McConnell say, I'm praying for him. I love him. He's like my brother. That's my brother. Wilson Chandler is talking about how we have to be there for him. And let's face it, Markelle Fultz gets criticized a lot. I mean, you know, this is the age of social media. Every time he says something, he does something, it goes viral on Twitter. It's just, you know, it's bad. And Wilson talked about that. He also said, you know, you go home and you turn on ESPN and they're talking about you. And that's true. So the guys have been showing him a lot of love, a lot of support. You know, for even, you know, Furkan Korkmaz, a guy who wanted to be traded earlier because he wasn't playing. You know, all he wants to do is play. He's in the rotation now. And he's saying, like, you know what? You know, I'm there for Markelle. So his teammates are there for him. They are. But let's face it. Markelle Fultz was the first overall pick. He was a guy that the team traded up the draft. They gave up a draft pick to get him. Right now, realistically, he's the third point guard on a team that's trying to win now. With that being said, the Sixers got to move on. Markelle Fultz has to move on. Now, in regards to his saying, I want a fresh start, or reportedly saying that, I could believe it. I mean, why wouldn't he? I mean, I think the bad thing about it is that you don't come out with that now, whoever said that. But why wouldn't he want a fresh start? I mean, the Sixers, and why wouldn't the Sixers want a fresh start? People love Markelle on his team. Everyone talks about what a great guy is. I remember when the first time I met him, I interviewed him. I was blown away by him. I'm humble. Great kid. Polite. Hardworking. Now, you know, he's going through stuff. He's kind of like, you could tell this stuff is always on his mind. You know, it's like if I didn't know him before, you know, I would think differently of him. Now, again, he's still a nice kid. But again, he's going through something. I don't see the joy that I saw when I first met him. It's gone. And then on top of that, I'm not saying that's the reason why he needs to go or he should go somewhere to get another start. But the team is playing better when TJ McConnell's on the floor. I'm not saying it's always going to be that way. Markelle has a huge upside. Once Markelle finds out what's wrong with him, which everyone thinks, a lot of people think is mental, once he can put his fingers around that and work on that and stop trying to chase an injury that might not be there, stop trying to find an excuse. People in his camp are saying, this is what's wrong with you. And again, I don't think it's everybody in his camp. I think it's a small group. It even can be singular telling them that. And I think that maybe what happens is the agent goes along with everything because he wants to continue to be the agent probably. So what I'm saying is for both sides, the Sixers can no longer deal with this distraction. Markelle Fultz needs a new start. It has to end. The problem for Markelle is whenever these shenanigans or whatever comes, whenever someone in his camp or his agent comes out and says something, or leaks something, or whatever happens, or the agent comes out and says, we were sending him to New York to see a specialist, you're lowering the trade value. You have your client looking crazy. So the Sixers, who knows? They're not going to get much for him, not in regards to a first overall draft pick. They could possibly move him. Somebody take a gamble on the kid. Say, let me just, you know, he only has 1 year left on his contract for next, you know, next season on his rookie, on his contract. Let me get him this year and just see what he can do for the rest of the season. And maybe we'll decide if we want to pick it up or not. The Sixers could get rid of him. They could basically get rid of his salary next year, and then they could re-sign Jimmy Butler and basically get another top free agent, sign him to a lucrative contract. You have the cap space when you get rid of Markel's $9.7 million. So there's options. But I do believe that this marriage has to end for both sides. I want to thank y'all for listening and have a great, great day. Happy Thanksgiving.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team